This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is our number two of the Lombardi Line, and we welcome those of you watching on the DraftKings Network. If you missed anything from our number one, make sure you check out the Lombardi Line in podcast form. We had Tank Williams joining us in the first hour, former NFL DB, college football, and NFL analyst. If you're looking to see what, go ahead and view us here, not just on the DraftKings Network, but also on Samsung TV, we're on Roku, we're on Zumo Play, we're all over the place, wherever you can go ahead and view our wonderful program here. Triple option is what we like to call it on a football Friday. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino, and Mike Pritchard, our VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick, and is a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes.
No asterisks.
He is a national champion with the Buffs from the early 90s. But gentlemen, we'll kick off this hour number two. We do have Barrett Slee joining us in 30 minutes, by the way, college football writer for CBS Sports. We'll discuss college football thoughts for Barrett in this penultimate weekend of the regular season in college football. But let's start it off, though, with the big game in the NFL. Super Bowl rematch Monday night, Eagles at the Chiefs. Right now, Kansas City, a 2.5-point favorite, total 45.5. I have played this game as a teaser, but I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on the side and the total here, Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl rematch.
I don't have a play. I asked Michael yesterday, the namesake of our show, during the Pressing 3 segment, will we learn more about the Chiefs on Monday night, or will we learn more about the Eagles? My answer is the Eagles. Michael said the Chiefs. He said, because we already know the Eagles are a good team. We're not sure yet on the Chiefs. They didn't score in the second half against Miami. Mahomes said, we've got to get better offensively, so he thinks we'll learn more. I think the Eagles haven't played a good team on the road yet, right? Their road schedule's been pretty soft. They played Dallas at home, but they had the Rams on the road. They had Washington on the road. I think it's a good road test for the Eagles to see where they are and their defense, where their defense is. Remember, they could not get the Chiefs off the field in the second half, and that cost him a Super Bowl last year. Granted, it's a different offense, but I'm more eager to find out about the Eagles. I don't have a play. I think this is about right. If you told me you give me three, I'm going to take the Eagles with three. For a small play, but looking forward to a great game, a Super Bowl rematch and possible preview.
Exactly. I'm right there with you on that, Mike. I like the Chiefs at minus 2.5. And here's why. They have this mantra, and they've lived by it, that the AFC goes through Arrowhead. They want to host the AFC Conference Championship game. Gives them the best chance, the best home field advantage, I think, in football right now. This game is not out of the realm of being mentioned when you have Super Bowl-caliber teams. These coaches saying, look, this game is so important, we need home field advantage. Like, if you're the Eagles, you don't want to go to San Francisco. You don't. You want home field advantage. You kind of control that right now. If you're the Chiefs, you kind of control where you are. You don't go to Detroit either if you're Philly. I'm just saying.
We had that discussion. They'll be favored at Detroit.
I'm throwing in what coaches will be talking about, right? Home field advantage. So don't slip up here, basically. Yeah. And that's why I think this has the makings of a great game. And one of the other notions or aspects I've been looking at in this game is how good the Chiefs' defense has been all year. Like, we know Andy Reid, he loves to evolve. They evolved from Tyreek Hill and went to more of an efficient offense. They won a Super Bowl. Spags defensively has evolved with these young players on that side of the ball, and they lead the league in terms of points allowed defensively. They're just allowing 16 points a game, just at 16 points a game. And so that's going to be tough on an Eagles offense that at times sputters, right? But they do have matchups. A.J. Brown is incredible. Devontae Smith is incredible. So this game is so intriguing to me. I do like the Chiefs right now at minus 2.5, though.
Yeah, I think I'd play the Chiefs if I had to play the side. Luckily, I don't have to. But like, in terms of the side, I think Kansas City is going to win the football game. I'm very interested in seeing Eagles offense versus Chiefs defense, because the Eagles offense, despite kind of looking clunky at times, it's just such a hard offense to stop, because I mean, they deal with first and eight. They don't have first and 10, because if they get in short yardage, tush push, first down, here we go, let's keep the ball moving.
Right.
Like, that's such a big advantage for a team to have, to where I want to see how this Kansas City defense kind of sort of deals with that. Like, can Chris Jones, can they get pressure on the interior on Jalen Hurts? And also, is Hurts mobile enough to get away from pressure? Because he wasn't when they played Dallas before the bye week. Like, he was gimping around a little bit. Parsons got him on a sack. Cowboys got a lot of pressure on Jalen Hurts that game. So I'm curious to see what this Eagles offense looks like against another test defense as it is the Kansas City Chiefs here. But yeah, I decided to tease the Eagles up, paired it with the Detroit Lions down to 1.5, and also with the Pittsburgh Steelers up to 8. So I think this is going to be a close game. I'd be surprised if it's a blowout either way. I think it'll come down to the fourth quarter, as it typically does between two contending teams. So
yeah, where are you guys with Andy Reid off a bye? That kind of,
It's strong.
But isn't it so baked into the number, though?
I would think so.
Like, you would think, because it's such a widely known kind of angle, like not even just in the betting standpoint, but also like people who do the more traditional sports analysis, like they talk about Andy Reid off the bye, look at his record, Andy Reid off the bye. Like, to me, it almost feels like it's so baked into where I would need a little bit more than that angle to play the Kansas City Chiefs, because there are some out there, but I think that's a good angle, but it's baked into the number.
I think the Eagles benefit from the bye, though, because they're an older team. They've had a rough early schedule. People are talking, they had two Thursday games. They had to play on a Monday night in Tampa when it was really hot and humid still, and they're an older team. So, I mean, I think, you know, both of them come off of this re-energized and and what the NFL should want at their top form for a really good, you know, game of the century too, right? We had Dallas and San Francisco. That was supposed to be, right? And then now this is the game of the century too.
But we wouldn't truly have a rematch because Gannon is gone. He's a head coach now. Shane Steichen's gone. He's head coach now. That's a big difference. That's another angle in this game, because
the enemy's gone.
The enemy's gone. So all those great coordinators right there. I mean, and that does make a big difference when you're talking about planning and scheming. And I think Brian Johnson now, who's calling plays for Philly, he's going to have to do that without Dallas Goedert. And so what are they going to do? How are they going to – and Spags, without that type of tight end, I mean, he's going to have some type of changes and looks that could slow up that offense a little bit too.
I can't wait to see this game, Monday Night Football. I'm sure the rating will be a big number. Taylor Swift, I'm assuming, will be in attendance the whole nine.
She's out of South America. The tour is over.
Maybe she'll take a quick break. Who knows? She controls the world, so she can do whatever she wants to do. But how about Sunday Night Football? This game, I think, is really, really interesting, because it has two teams that are sort of making that playoff push. Minnesota's already in the playoff picture. Denver right now still a little bit back, but a big win for the Broncos Monday night as they host the Vikings. Denver's a 2.5-point favorite. Total's 42.5. I don't know if we're going to see Justin Jefferson. Sounds like he's still limited at practice. I don't know if they're going to go ahead and push it. They want him to be a full go in practice this week. But, I mean, Denver to me looks like it's an appealing side. I haven't bet it yet, but that's sort of how I lean. What do you guys think?
You know, I have to go back and watch a game I watched none of last week was Minnesota and New Orleans. So I have to go and watch it before I have an informed opinion on this number. I was pretty impressed with where Peyton's got this team after the start, right? Defense playing much better. He made some changes there. Russ looks completely different than, I'm not saying he looks like Seattle Russ, but he's now making plays with his legs. Remember all last year, he didn't want to run the ball. Right. He didn't want to move around. He's moving around again like he did in Seattle effectively. And, you know, it's a close call for me. I would look at a situation, you know, you've used teasers this week, and I think this is a teaser week where there's no sides. I would look at teasing the Vikings up in this spot.
Yeah, I me too. Thing about Russ is he might be running too much, because I studied the tape, and there's some open guys, but he's reluctant. He's timid. Yeah. To throw it.
Doesn't want to throw a pick.
Right. Doesn't want to make a mistake. So they've dialed it back, and they've gotten conservative offensively because the defense has improved, right? And give credit to Vance Joseph, defense coordinator. A lot of heat, a lot of fire early on, but he's figured out the personnel a little bit. And they've been great, but the Vikings defense has been great too. I mean, 19 points a game the last three games. I think Flores is doing an incredible job with a bunch of players that you have questions about. Hunter is, I think, he's leading the league in sacks.
Yep.
Right? So offensively, Kevin O'Connell, I mean, how in tune he is with play calling, because this four-game winning streak that they've been on started with Cousins. And Cousins, if you don't turn the ball over, we're good. And so Dobbs didn't turn the ball over last week, and they're okay. They're averaging about almost 28 points a game. And that is significant to me. So can they go on a road? I don't think Mile High or whatever the field is called now is like it used to be from a home field advantage standpoint. I love the Vikings on the teaser leg here.
So I would still give Mile High, not what it used to be, of course, not when like when you were there and John Elway was there and all that stuff. Like, it's not definitely not that, and it's not what when Peyton Manning was there either, when they were a contending team. But the fact that the Broncos have won three straight games, I think there's probably some optimism with this Broncos team to where I think that's going to be a pretty raucous environment that Josh Dobbs is entering in Sunday night, to where I would want more points to back Josh Dobbs in this spot here. To me, this is always Denver pass as it pertains to the side, at least.
6 weeks ago, nobody in Colorado wanted to talk about Denver. Their focus was on Deion.
Right.
How Swift. Have things changed right now? I want to ask Pritch, the physical effects of elevation. Is it oversold? Is it hard for the visiting team in that spot, in that game, for their oxygen consumption? Is the effect the game after? How do you see all of that?
First quarter. So what we would try to do from a game planning standpoint is jump out on an early lead, be ultra aggressive offensively, because the first quarter, we knew that defenses would be gasping for air. I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of shape you're in. You still had to get used to that thin air, right? And so trying to have that advantage in the first quarter, try to take advantage of teams in the first quarter. But once you settle into the game and once you get acclimated, you're fine. I mean, these guys are in top shape right now. And so it shouldn't be a problem. I think at the beginning of the year, it could be a problem, but not right now. These guys are in tip-top shape.
If the Broncos win this game and the betting market is right, right now, they're only a game back of the seventh seed in the AFC. Like, this thing is starting to open up. Who knows how long Burrow is out? The Bills are reeling. We'll get into that game to end the hour as well as the big spread games. But Denver, it's a really, really important week that they have up here taking on the Minnesota Vikings. All right, on the other side, we'll table the NFL. We'll talk college football Saturday's marquee matchups next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Femi Abbafe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With so many games on the board, there's no better time to put the VSiN experts to work for you. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand, betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game, plus betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Sign up today and get your first 30 days for only $19 to see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up now. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abbafe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard. A nice, not spirited, but an interesting Heisman conversation that we had in the break. And we'll ask Barrett Salee about the Heisman Trophy coming up in the next segment, 15 minutes from now. Barrett Salee, college football writer for CBS Sports. He will be joining us as we talk all the big happenings in the world of college football, including as well Michigan, because we just have another chapter after today's news that came out that they fired an assistant coach here as Harbaugh yesterday accepted the 3-game suspension, or as you called it, probably more accurately, the 3-Saturday suspension.
That's all he gave up.
Yep. Which is ridiculous. But hey, he's flying to Maryland, by the way, and he's just not going to be at the venue. So big suspension there for the Wolverines. But let's talk, though, college football marquee matchups. The primetime game of the day is in Corvallis between Oregon State and Washington. The undefeated Huskies, number 5 team in the country, according to the CFP committee. They are an underdog over at DraftKings. 1.5 is our spread total, 62.5. And it feels like the last 2 weeks, everyone has been on this. Washington's going to get clipped. Here comes the upset. Is this finally the week that the Huskies suffer their first loss?
Well, it wouldn't be an upset, though.
It would not be an upset.
I mean, no. Oregon State is favored. So Washington, this is a game squarely for a national championship playoff berth, because they're going to win the Apple Cup. They're going to be in the Pac-12 championship game. But they need this to propel them towards their quest. And an undefeated Washington, I don't care what arguments and scenarios you're going to make. They're in. And so is an undefeated Florida. Yeah, undefeated Power Five teams are not getting left out of this scenario.
Right. They'll be in.
You know, I can see this playing out in many different ways. But from a betting perspective, if I have to lean on something, I will lean on the fact that I think Jonathan Smith is the best run game coach in college football right now.
Okay.
And I don't think their offensive line is as good as it was last year when they pulled to Michigan and ran the ball every play against Oregon and beat them, came back in that game against Bo Nix and beat them in Corvallis. But I got to tell you something. I look at this and I ask the bookmakers here at Circa for the look-ahead line that they would post for Oregon State at Oregon next week, okay? And the Connor Howard, Connor Howard, who is the lead bookmaker here, said, this is my number, but we won't post it because it's too far off market. He would make it 13, Oregon over Oregon State, which implies from this number here that the game here is going to be a full touchdown Oregon against Washington, which I thought it would be four, and everybody's telling me, no, it's going to be higher than four.
I said six last week.
Full touchdown, maybe. Wow. I don't think you can go higher than a full touchdown. Telling me Washington might be vulnerable here. Oregon State looked great against Stanford. I know it's not the same team, but Washington struggled to beat Stanford in that game. I lean Oregon State here, but these are tricky games when you have, you know, these undefeated teams come in and they're the dog and that. We'll have no bet preflop, but I'll be watching for an endgame opportunity.
Yeah, Washington's been through it. Yep. I mean, they played some tough games and some emotional games, roller coaster games, really. But this one has a lot to it because it involves the Heisman. So let's say Oregon State stops the run for Washington, makes it difficult, and Washington has to rely on Penix, which I think they're going to do it anyway. I think the game plan for Washington, for a lot of reasons, is to open up this passing game for Penix to not only win the game but win the Heisman, because they've never had a Heisman Trophy up there in Washington at UW, and they're close. They're this close. And they need Michael Penix to go off against Oregon State in that pass defense in order for them to win this game. I don't think they can be conservative. I don't think they can mess around, especially with the way they're vulnerable on defense themselves. I think they have to open up this game plan big time. And if Michael Penix delivers, I mean, that could be very interesting.
Did you know what – Tim asked me this question on the show yesterday, Tim Murray. Mm-hmm. What Oregon State's record is against the spread at home the last 2.5 years?
Last 2.5 years at home ATS, I would say that they failed to cover three times.
Yeah, 18-1.
Okay,
it's unbelievable. Yeah. Jeez. Wow. Stadium. So I mean, it's pretty strong. I mean, we all remember USC being number one going up there, and yep. Jacquez ran for 800 yards, and all Pete Carroll pulling his hair out and stuff like that.
This is so, like the Mark Sanchez.
I think this is going to be a really good game, though. Don't sleep on Washington here. I'm with you.
I've always been an offensive guy in college football. You know, there's times where you lean on defense when, I mean, defense is just incredible on that side of the ball with talent. But I look at these receivers, the way Michael Penix Jr. is playing and throwing the ball, that's the game plan. And that's the way to success of winning this game.
Obviously, the Pompey, the Pac-12, as we had the last days of the Pac-12, want Washington to win here because it was set up a Pac-12 title game that's a play-in game to the playoff.
Right. Right.
That'd be the what a scene that would be here in Vegas, right? Allegiant Stadium.
I'll be there. I'm going to find a reason to be there.
I'm going.
Yeah. There you go. Maybe all three of us will go.
Yeah. No, I mean.
We'll go with Pritz because you know we're going to get better seats.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm on the Pac-12 Football Council.
There you go. You talk to us now, Pritz. 50-yard line or bust.
Because Colorado's now in the Pac-12. You played in the. Why aren't you in the Big 8, Big 12 Council? What is this?
Next year,
did you change the former players? Change next year
when you know Merton Hanks. Played against him.
Merton Hanks.
The Pac-12 Football Council is kind of going away because of Pac-12. We'll see what kind of party we'll have coming up December 1st though.
But when I was a kid, I used to try to do the Merton Hanks TD celebration and give myself a headache every single time. For those who don't know, go ahead and look it up. Merton Hanks. I hate it. I mean, he was a 49er, so I hated him. I was like, this guy was a thorn in my side. But fun player to watch, though.
Yeah.
No, it's an interesting game. I think I would honestly lean towards Oregon. I just worry about the physicality of Oregon State on offense. Now, it's a test for Oregon State's defense to try to stop this Washington passing attack.
Right.
The Beavers, secondary-wise, a little bit shaky there. But on offense, I think that Oregon State's run game can control the pace of the game, which I think would give them the advantage in this one. So I think it's kind of a tale of two different styles here to where we'll see which one kind of wins out.
Utah had every chance to win that game at Husky State with a physical style.
With a physical style, And that's the thing. When you have a physical team like that, and like Washington – I'm a fan of the team, and I'll say it, they're not as physical as most teams. Like they don't play that brand of football. They play an exciting brand, but when it comes to playing in a phone booth, that's where they're kind of lacking, I would say.
When you try to make this number for Washington and Oregon and the Pac-12 title game, and you think about Bo Nix and the Ducks went there and just absolutely eviscerated them at Rice Eccles, and then they went to Husky Stadium and had a chance late to win that. I mean,
yeah.
it's
Yeah. Oregon's really good.
They
man.
Are really good.
I'm telling you, like, we've been saying it all season long. Like, they're really good.
To me, the best three teams in the country, and I don't care what order you put them in, and it doesn't matter where they mm-hmm. rank them. You just have to get into the playoff. Yep. Michigan, Georgia, and Oregon are the best three teams in 100%. The country to me.
Full agreement.
And I know Alabama's coming like a freight train here.
Whatever.
Yeah? You say that? Okay. Give me Georgia in the SEC title game?
Give me Georgia.
Give me Georgia.
Give me Georgia in the SEC title game.
Any thought to the fact that Texas A&M could be going after Oregon's head coach? And the agent.
He's not interested.
He had the conference press.
He said it.
Which, in college football, that's a lot.
I don't know. I've seen a lot in college football that, yeah, he said it. But I mean, his agent still could be negotiating
this thing.
He's going
from like number two money to number one money. That would be.
Also, though, I ask you this. Who's the better program? A&M or Oregon? Which program is better suited to win a national
you
title?
You got Lanning going back to the SEC, though, right?
He would be going back to the SEC.
But the thing is, so Mario, when the Oregon was here playing Utah, I believe, we were up in the booth, got wind that he was going to take that job.
To Miami.
And those kids were so deflated on that sideline. It's like if I was betting, then I mean, oh my gosh, right?
Live wager sure. of Utah.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness. But because it had leaked out. It had leaked out to people that were close to the program. Now, coaches might say one thing. Yeah, I'm not thinking about that, or I'm focused on where I'm at. I love it here. But the agent could be negotiating. For Texas A&M to fire Jimbo, they have targeted somebody, though. And that would be a high-profile situation. But as a bettor, I'm considering it because I know how college football works. And that's why I just threw it out to you guys.
Yeah, and earlier this week, Lanning, he was vehement that he is staying in Oregon. He said, I have all I need right here at Oregon. He's not the first coach who has said that, who went ahead and left. I mean, we all remember Nick Saban in Miami when he was the head coach of the Dolphins saying, I'm not going to Alabama. He went to Alabama. And, I mean, one of the more famous ones is Roy Williams after the national title game when Kansas lost to Syracuse and says, I don't care about the Carolina job.
A little different. I mean, that was a legacy job that, you know, they had wanted him before, and he'd said no, but after Doherty ran it into the ground.
You know what usurps legacy is money. And if somebody's going to throw it at you.
Because Oregon's going to the Big Ten, right?
They're going to the Big Ten.
So if you're Lanning, do I want to go to SEC with A&M, or do I want to go to the Big Ten?
Well, they're,
fair question.
They're the two conferences that control college football now, for sure.
Controlled by the two networks, and they're all fighting each other. How about that? We'll ask this to our next guest, Barrett Salee, on the other side. Who is A&M targeting? We'll discuss it next year on the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abbefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In the NBA, the game can change in an instant, but no matter how the action unfolds, you know DraftKings Sportsbook has your back. This week, new customers can score 150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on basketball. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino. And joining us now, college football writer for CBS Sports, the one and only Barrett Salee, who will be joining us as we discuss all the happenings in the world of college football. And Barrett, we will start off, thank you for joining us, by the way. We'll start off with the Michigan Wolverines because they've made enough news over this last month or so. Today it comes out, Yahoo Sports reporter Dan Wetzel reports that a Michigan fired an assistant coach. Of course, Harbaugh went ahead and accepted the 3-game suspension. Do you think that now that we believe that this is over, at least in the interim, the NCAA still has to continue their investigation, but in the interim, this feels like it's over. Can Michigan just go back to focusing on football, and how do you think that this kind of affects them the final 2 weeks of the regular season?
No, it's not over. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the NCAA seems to be moving pretty fast on all of this. They were on campus this week talking to players, talking to coaches, talking to administrators about it. So, no, it's not over by any stretch of the imagination. I think things are moving quickly. And, you know, the Big Ten felt compelled like they had to do something. And they did. And I think Michigan at the time was frustrated about it. And then this week when all this this stuff with Uncle T and all that with Chris Partridge as well started coming out, they accepted their fate with Jim Harbaugh. And I think they're expecting much more in, I wouldn't say coming weeks or months, but maybe, you know, towards the end of the 2024 season, just because the NCAA takes so long to do anything. But yeah, there's more to it. As far as distraction, I didn't think it would be much of a distraction, but now with Chris Partridge being fired today, you know, and you know, kind of now that we know that the players have, you know, been interrogated, so to speak, on this, yeah, it might be a distraction. This is a dangerous Maryland team this week. If things were moving slower, I don't think the players would care. But for everybody around that program, this has become a distraction because it's just simply taking preparation time away from them right now.
Barrett, let's talk about head coaching news in College Station. Jimbo's out, and in some places you can bet who will be the next Aggies head coach. Rumors are that UTSA's Jeff Traylor is interviewing for the job. I signaled on him as one of the top candidates to begin with. Texas roots. He's won everywhere he's went. Coached on Charlie Strong's staff at Texas. But how serious of a candidate is he if he's a reach for an AD if it doesn't work out and you lose your job there?
No, he's a very much a candidate and a very high candidate too, because he's the anti Jimbo Fisher. And I say that because he's flexible, but B, you mentioned the high school stuff. Jimbo Fisher like actively avoided high school coaches in the state of Texas. Like he didn't want anything to do with it. And you know, in some states, okay, in Florida, I think you could probably get away with that. In the state of Florida, at Texas, you can't. Like you can't. And to avoid the high school coaches association convention multiple times, that is so far gone from what any major college or even small college coach needs to do. So Jeff obviously has plenty of experience with that. He was one of those guys. He's very involved in that organization. And on top of that, he's a really good coach. That UTSA program kind of got off to a slow start, but now they're back on track and really what they've been under him for the last couple of years. So yeah, he's up there. I do think things are moving very, very fast. I know that there was not a candidate in mind when Jimbo was fired. They're running a true search and they're running it quickly. Like you said, Traylor was interviewed on Tuesday. I would imagine they're going to talk to a lot of other candidates very quickly as well. Might have already done some behind-the-scenes work if they haven't directly talked to some candidates. So it's happening quick. But if it's Traylor, that's fine. That's good. That's exactly what they need to do.
You know, Barry, I'm curious because, you know, behind-the-scenes meaning maybe talking to an agent or two for these coaches. But the poaching nature of college football, we see it all the time, whether it's a transfer portal or not, or in my case, Mel Tucker being poached from Colorado to Michigan State, right, as he's talking to boosters, by the way. I don't know. The poaching nature and the comfort of that within college football, I just wonder, and you just said that they didn't have anybody in mind, but then you have these boosters, everybody just friends of the program. It's like, okay, who do they have in mind? Is it a high-profile situation, or is this like you were just talking about with UTSA?
Well, it better not be a high-profile situation for Texas A&M because that didn't work out well last time. So, and I think Ross Bjork, their AD, knows that. And I think, honestly, the small group of boosters that are sort of involved in all of this understand that, too. They might not necessarily agree on a name yet, but the direction is there. And as far as poaching, you know, I think it's funny because in years past, you know, if UTSA's coach interviews at Texas A&M with 2 weeks left in the season, that's a big no-no. Right? Like that UTSA would be mad about that. But now I think it's one of those things with the transfer portal coming up, you know, right after the end of championship weekend where, okay, if school X is tampering with my coach, well, how mad can you get? Cause you're probably going to have to do that too in the near future. Right. So yeah. It's a new era right now. So it's interesting that all this stuff is happening, but that's just the evolving nature of our sport, I guess.
Yeah. We're speaking with Barrett Salee, college football writer for CBS Sports. Barrett, last time we had you on, we asked you about the Heisman Trophy. Now we have 2 weeks left here in the regular season. I know you are a Heisman voter, and you're not allowed to say who you would vote for or who you're going to vote for in the next couple of weeks here. But if you had to vote right now, and obviously the four contending guys, Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix, Marvin Harrison Jr., I mean, I guess right now with 2 weeks left, I think who do you think is leading the Heisman Trophy race at least?
I think it's Jaden Daniels. And I know that I think he's, what, second in odds right now?
Yep.
And Penix is number one. So, you know, I still think it's Jaden Daniels. I know those odds say differently, but with what Jaden Daniels was able to do yesterday, or like yesterday, last week, no one's ever been able to do that. And I think that caught the attention of voters, because a lot of voters do not pay attention to college football on an hour-to-hour basis. You know, they're regional sports writers or TV guys or radio hosts or, you know, national folks that are, you know, have NBA or whatever. Again, that's fine. Don't get me wrong. That's fine. But those numbers jumped out, right? Those numbers are going to get the attention of everybody. Whereas Michael Penix is just sort of an awesome player in their minds, right? And I love Michael. Like, he's awesome. Don't get me wrong. But I think a lot of voters right now, anyway, if they had to cast their ballots, Jaden Daniels would probably be that guy because of recency bias. The thing about it, though, is it flips around at the end of the season because Jaden Daniels isn't playing on Championship Saturday. So right now, I'd say if voters submitted their ballots, Jaden Daniels would probably win. I don't think that's going to be the case at the end of the season when all is said and done. But right now, if I had a ballot, and I'm not playing recency bias because I know all about this stuff. I follow it on a minute-by-minute basis. I still would vote for Jaden Daniels at this point.
You know, Barrett, for the most part, it's like for the marquee matchups, we all know what they are. It's like that bye week situation too in college football with a lot of these matchups.
You mean in the SEC?
In the SEC, I'll be here.
Oh,
thank you,
man.
But Barrett, anybody on upset alert for you and for us this week?
Well, Oregon State, because Oregon State's favorite against Washington. So, yes, definitely Oregon State. I would put them on upset alert. There's no doubt. I mean, honestly, you guys are out in Vegas. Can you guys explain why that hasn't moved? Because I would love your perspective on that.
Well, it did. There has been some movement. This game was 2.5 at one point yesterday, down to a pick in some spots. And then settled. Yeah, then came back and settled at 1 today. So some spots are at 1, 1.5. But there was Washington money yesterday.
That's good. Well, okay, that's good then. Because I think that's going to be – I think Washington's going to win that game by double digits. Mm-hmm. So you know, maybe my Oregon State pick is not going to be an upset alert by the end of the day. But, you know, to me, I would say one to keep an eye on that I don't necessarily people are paying close attention to is Missouri. You know, Florida's, well, I don't know where it is right now, but I think it was like 10 or 11 or whatever yesterday. Missouri's kind of feeling itself right now. And while I love Eli Drinkwitz, and we have him on our show on SiriusXM all the time, I love that dude. This is classic letdown, and it's also desperation for Florida. And you have to worry about a desperate Florida team, especially when you look at how Graham Mertz has been really, really good at quarterback all year long. It hasn't changed. And they do have the ability to play up to their competition like they did, you know, against Tennessee. They shouldn't have beat Tennessee, but they dominated. And so we know that's there. We just have to see it. So I'd say Florida, Missouri might be one.
All right. Right now, Missouri, a 12.5 point favorite in some spots here, total at 57. He is Barrett Slee. Check out all of his work. College football writer over on CBS Sports at Barrett Slee on Twitter. Barrett, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, y'all. Have a good one.
Awesome. We'll wrap up the show on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line on the DK Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes. You can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard, as we're wrapping things up here on a Football Friday. Thank you to our two guests, by the way. Tank Williams joined us, NFL and college football betting analyst. And also thank you to Barrett Salee, who joined us in the last segment, college football writer for CBS Sports. But we thought we were going to talk about the remaining NFL slate, but we have to get to the breaking news in the National Football League. And it's the story that we talked about at the beginning of our program. Joe Burrow with the Cincinnati Bengals. All reports out there now saying Joe Burrow is done for the remainder of the season with a wrist injury. It's a torn ligament in the right wrist for Joe Burrow. He had the MRI this morning. It will now be Jake Browning, who's starting for the Cincinnati Bengals going forward. But more importantly, Joe Burrow, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, probably the second best QB behind Patrick Mahomes in the NFL, done for the year. Your guys' kind of initial reaction to that.
It's more bad news for fans, right? Yeah. I mean, maybe if you're a Baltimore fan or you're a Pittsburgh or Cleveland fan, it's good. Or you're a Denver Bronco and all these peripheral playoff teams. But it's bad because we all agree the quarterback play has been down. And I agree. I had to rank these for a list. I had him number two.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I had Lamar Jackson number three. The list was for where do you rank Josh Allen now. But I did. And I mean, his performance and their performance at San Francisco a couple of weeks ago was probably the best game of the year anyone's played. So it's a shame that he's going to be out because the quality of it goes down. But it more opens up from a futures perspective, the AFC playoff picture.
Yeah, it really does. First of all, enough with the quarterbacks or the softness of preseason. These teams are so afraid of these guys getting hurt. Iron sharpens iron, you know, and I think as a professional athlete, especially in football, you have to go through it. You have to learn how to fall. You got to learn how to take a hit prior to just trying to ramp it up in regular season. So enough of that. And it is unfortunate. It's a blow to the fans, like you said, Mike. You know, Burrow, and so much has been made of how many times he's been hit over his career, too. I get that. But you just don't want to see these type of players get injured and affect a team in a season. Like, when they're entertaining signing Joe Flacco, then you knew they thought it was something significant anyway. But here we go with really the bottom of the barrel with a lot of these teams in terms of trying to keep their seasons alive. So I think the league's going to have to address that, certainly. I think coaches are going to have to take a different tact, a different mission in preseason trying to get their players ready. But no, it is highly unfortunate that he goes down. We're not going to be able to see him for the remaining of the year.
I do want to get to that point that you bring up from a league-wide standpoint, but this was from Zach Taylor at the press conference earlier this afternoon. He said, quote, "This season is far from over." I mean, what else is he going to say at that point there? He did say that this was on the injury happened when Jadeveon Clowney tackled him, which appeared to be kind of a normal tackle for Joe Burrow there, kind of an innocuous play there. Taylor then said that it was most likely that Burrow hurt his hand the play before the TD pass, which was that play where Jadeveon Clowney tackled him. But get this, though. The list of significant injuries for quarterbacks, Adam Schefter just tweeted this out moments ago, saying that Joe Burrow, obviously, with the wrist, Deshaun Watson with the shoulder injury, that was just a couple days ago. Kirk Cousins tore his Achilles in the win against the Green Bay Packers. Daniel Jones, torn ACL. Anthony Richardson, his shoulder injury, the promising rookie for the Colts. And then, of course, the whole season started with Aaron Rodgers, Monday Night Football. We were all excited. Four plays in, tears his Achilles. I mean, like, this has been a lot of devastating blows here to where it's like the quarterbacks are the most valuable players, the most impactful players to point spreads from a betting standpoint. But for these teams and like if you have for futures bets, like this is a pretty big injury, as significant an injury as we've seen since obviously Rodgers tearing his Achilles on opening night, Monday Night Football.
They've designed all the rules to protect these guys, right?
All of
them. Can't hit them anywhere around
right?
the knee.
Nope.
You can't hit them up here. I mean, even you get these hits up high, they don't even the helmet, they're going to call that stuff.
Can't land on them.
How about the referee said, you've got to roll your body up.
Roll your body up.
It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's not physics. I mean, you can't. But still, to your point, you make a great argument about the lack of preparation in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know how you play the game of football without getting hit. I mean, it's a violent sport. We know that. And you know, in preseason, as a player, you know it's not as amped up as a regular season. And so freakish things can happen. They can happen in practice. We get that. But this Charmin tissue around a quarterback position in preseason, it bugs me. Because you think about trying to just get ready, and then the fact that now we're down to backup quality play. Now, if you really are following quarterbacks, so okay, you know, Patrick Mahomes looks great. You know, win a Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes again. Or if you're looking at, you know, Jalen Hurts, Femi brought up the point that he might be banged up, but yet he's playing through this. Dak Prescott, I mean, I don't know who are the elite quarterbacks other than the obvious right now. Maybe that makes it easier for you as a bettor.
For the AFC North, because I was going to bring this up while we were talking about it, but we got sidetracked to start the show. The Ravens, prior to this announcement, were about minus 190 to win the division over at DraftKings. Now they're minus 300. Pittsburgh plus 380. Cleveland plus 450. Cincinnati now has fallen to 35-1 to win the AFC North. I guess the question is that Ravens price, is it too short? Like, would you still lay minus 300?
But I thought 190 was too short with Burrow in there. I mean, I said it was over once they lost that game last night. And then on top of the injury was factored into the 190, right? The doubt with Burrow's wrist.
I think so.
I don't know. I'm not into laying 3-1, but I would be shocked that they don't win this division. And I know their schedule isn't easy.
No, it's not.
The Ravens have a difficult schedule. Right. But if you had to choose between Pittsburgh, who's going to beat them now? It's probably the Steelers have the best shot if it's
right.
When you look at schedules and you look at it's probably, and even if Cleveland won this game on Sunday against Pittsburgh and they're a 1-point favorite, I still think down the road without Deshaun Watson, Pittsburgh probably has a better shot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this game against the Eagles for Kansas City is vital because home field advantage is everything. Okay, now you get Burrow out the equation. Buffalo's struggling right now. The remaining schedule for the Chiefs after this game against the Eagles. You got Vegas, you got Green Bay, you got Buffalo, New England, who's their quarterback. Vegas again. Now Cincinnati and then the Chargers. It's like there's a path for Kansas City to have this home field advantage. So that could affect your bet if you're looking at Super Bowl odds or AFC Conference Championships and all kinds of scenarios. I mean, I would start looking at those future schedules down the stretch here. In particular in the AFC, and really hone in or focus in on what you want to do with those futures.
Would you be looking at Chiefs to win the AFC price right now?
If they get
home, they're going to get the one seed.
This game, game against the Eagles. If they get through this one and they look great, they cover and all that stuff. Then I mean, they obviously are talking about home field advantage and the AFC once again going through Arrowhead.
Yeah. And for the Eagles, I mean, they have the lead right now, but they still have to go to Dallas if they lose this game, right? Dallas game all they wanted at home.
Yeah.
And when you talk about we want to host San Francisco in an NFC Championship game and not have to travel across the country and play there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we're coming up. We have a couple minutes left in the program. I want to give my thoughts. I just want to give people an update. Joe Burrow, of course, out for the season. For our listening audience who's just tuning in right now, that's where we're having this discussion. You can ask your question.
Yeah, I want to say, first of all, congratulations to you on your pick, because there was a lot of analysis when you said it was your favorite play of the year with the 49ers.
Oh, the Niners. Yep.
And why, you know, it was. But it won very easily. You're right, also, with Arizona. Mm-hmm. I want your take because you're probably the network's lead Bear fan.
Me and the monsters of the Midway.
You get Fields back. Does that make a big factor in your play this week? You still believe in Fields.
I still believe in Fields.
And does that compel you? Do though.
I believe in Fields.
Bear fan with Fields. Does this compel a bet for you this week?
Well, it did to where I teased Detroit. Yeah. Because I think if it's Bajent, we're probably still sitting at 10.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that Fields is playing, the line has then moved now to 7.5. So Fields, his return has created a valuable bet, in my eyes at least, to where, hey, Detroit down to 1.5. I would be not stunned because it's the NFL. I'd be pretty surprised if the Lions lose this game. Laying 1.5, I feel pretty comfortable with that with the Detroit Lions.
So, are you a Bears fan or a Justin Fields fan?
I think he's better than everybody says.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, everyone's like, "Yeah, this guy's terrible." This and that. Yeah,
he's a Fields.
Fields believer.
I don't like to say apologist because there's a negative connotation to apologist. But
Fields
believer.
Believer. I'm not even, he doesn't help my team. I'm a Dallas Cowboys
fan.
You
have futures tickets on Fields?
I have none.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't even win money off of this.
MVP Justin. One other thing, we didn't talk Survivor since our buddy Pritch is out.
Yeah, we'll pour one out.
But a lot of people will be forced to make this choice. 290 still have the Commanders at home to the Giants. Everybody basically has Jacksonville and Houston. Those three games, what's your order for Survivor?
Oh, my gosh.
Commanders.
I'd stay away from Houston.
I'd stay away from Houston.
I'd go Jacksonville. I'd use Commanders if I had them. If I didn't, I'd go Jackson.
Washington.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you maybe use Denver?
Ooh, boy.
That's why I got knocked out week two.
That's too zigzaggy.
That does it for us. For Mike Ball, Mike Pritchard, I'm Femi Benfei saying so long. Sharp Money's coming up next on VSiN.